Welcome, everybody. It is BNP Weekly, episode 84. It is 18th of May, 2020.
2020. Okay.
2020. Thank you. Thank you, Valda. That's why you're here.
Yes.
Best year.
Now, yeah, can we reset this year? That's fair. Something clearly wrong with this year. So welcome everybody to BNP Weekly. This is the weekly show, which we typically record on Monday, and it goes live on Tuesday, and it's fully scripted, and we're super prepared, and everybody knows exactly what we're going to talk within the next 45 minutes. Right?
Yes. My teleprompter says now, ha ha.
My name is Esa Juvonen, and I'm a principal program manager from the OneDrive SharePoint platform team. And with me as a co-host is Waldek. Who are you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Valdemar Segas. I am head of product at Rancor. And today we have a guest from sunny Australia, Rabia Williams. Welcome, Rabia.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Rabia, and I'm a developer at Engage Squared. I am from Australia, from Brisbane.
Yeah,
and also an MVP, right?
Yes, very yes, recent
don't
one.
Don't forget that.
It's for office development.
Cool. Excellent.
And just to, we were doing a quick education on Kirkcraffic in Australia before we started recording. That was good. So understanding where the Brisbane is, but I actually could have been. Estimates where it is, but anyway, it was interesting
it's
to see the
Australia where that way.
Yeah,
it's that way.
Yeah, it's on that way. I wasn't aware.
I think you were better than me, though, Visa. You were better.
Fair point. Fair point. Still, at the same time, I think it's one of those weird things. I have to say, it's pretty weird to have nowadays the video recordings from Australia live without any problems, and that's awesome. I think if whatever the 2020 year has been super weird and everybody has been forced to work from home, if this would have happened 10 years ago, we would have been just no way for people to work. It's just nowadays,
sending pigeons, owls, you know, trying
like they're doing it. Yeah. Paula apparently does that still. Anyway, bad joke. Okay, so let's actually get started on something. So, Rabia, you're pretty new MVP. So, yes. What do you actually do for a living? You said that you're working in N Square, and what is your day to day? Whatever it was. Monday morning, what can you do?
Yes, I'm a developer. Like I said, I work on SPFX solutions, a bit of Azure. I think these days, when you say a developer, you have to put your hands in everything, a bit of Power Automate, Power Apps. That side, I think you get it. So basically doing, I think more focus is on SPFX side of things and a bit of everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. So the UX layer in SPFX and then Azure side for the backend services and long running operations and all of that stuff, which is.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And what's your, just out of curiosity, you've been working on the SPFX for how long?
For 3 years now. I think my first SPFX project was back in 2017. And then since then, I don't think we have gone back to, the usual way of doing things in JavaScript and stuff. Has always been modern solutions and stuff. Yeah, which is pretty amazing.
Cool.
Yeah,
it
except
is.
For maybe a bit of a migration projects where you have to go back and open SharePoint Designer.
And you're like, no! Like, what is this
it's
thing?
Free. It's free.
Yes, it's free. Yeah.
And well, for now, you can actually use that. I think, to be fair, I think we will be using supporting SharePoint Designer for a while still because we have to because of the workflow. But certain areas of the SharePoint Designers are now getting actually removed as well. There has been some announcements on that finally. It's one of those things where if you don't know what you're doing, you can actually really do harmful things with SharePoint Designer, unfortunately.
Yes.
It's a blessing, but it's a curse as well. So it's one of those
there
things.
Is a tenant level switch where you can say do not allow it, right?
True.
You can turn it off for the whole thing, and then you're like,
people know. So
today you learn. there is a tenant yes. level switch that you can use to turn it off and avoid any issues.
Yes.
Let's get back on the SPFX just out of curiosity on because obviously I'm being responsible of trying to make it as easily as possible approachable for the developers, mm-hmm. Among the other people who've been helping with this journey. What's your take on the SharePoint framework? Is it easy to get started? Any learnings from your past? What are the things what you're focusing on? Are you using React, Angular, and all of that stuff?
Yeah, so I'm using React at the moment. And I have to say, I have, so I started off SharePoint development in SharePoint 2010. So I have worked in the farm solution side of things, and I can compare with what we are working now and how much easy it is, how quickly we can do stuff in a more controlled way. And what really helps out at the moment with SPFX is the patterns that we have to follow. With patterns and practices, I would say it's super simple. We didn't have that kind of availability or samples or a community or support back then when we had farm solutions. So I think it's pretty easy now to get into it and, you know, start working on your projects. It's that simple, yeah. Which was not the case before.
Yeah, I
mean, back then we had a book. You would buy a single book, you would read it back to back, and then you would know everything, right? And you were good for 3 years. Whereas now, tomorrow there are, exactly. But I mean, tomorrow there is new React, and you're like, wow, but that is different. There are hooks. Like, oh, what are hooks? Right? And tomorrow there will be yet another thing, and it will be like, so it's this constant thing, constant change, right? Whereas in the past that wasn't really the case, right?
Which is also exciting for developers, because we all always want to do new stuff. I think we were kind of in a loop doing the same thing when we were back with the farm solutions, and we were not motivated enough every day to come to work because we were, you know, it was pretty predictable what you were doing. But it's not the case now. It's a bit noisy. I accept that, but it's also an exciting noise. So
yeah,
it works.
Well, I mean, the interesting fact is that especially in the past, like, predictable part is exactly as you said. I agree. It was the same. Like, you would do a lot of rinse and repeat, but then you would, like, every single time there would be different environment with different constraint patch levels, and there would be always something that didn't work, right? So the predictable aspect on that side, there wasn't there, because there was always something. You would always need to rediscover something that she's like, but I did this in the past, and it used to work. Why doesn't it work now? Yeah. Right?
Very true. Very true. I just faced this last week on some stuff that we were working, a migration project, and we were like, okay, wait, hold on. Okay, 10 years of working on this, and we don't know this yet.
Exactly.
But I think that's kind of given. I think it was last week I was approached by one whatever principal group engineering manager who was asking, how would I modify a provisioning of an out-of-the-box site definition? And I'm like, what?
And you're like, I know this. I have it here on my blog. It's the only blog post in the world discussing site definitions in SharePoint.
But it's one of those things, coming back to Rabia, what you were just saying, that even in Microsoft, a lot of the people who are responsible of things, obviously the things shuffle and people move along, people move to a different role. Some people stick on because they can't get rid of it. Just kidding.
Irreplaceable.
But then you get to this model where even the highest level group engineering manager just don't have the experience anymore, because everybody has moved on. They're down to something else.
But I guess that is the reality of building a product as opposed to doing things in project, right? In project, like every single time you start from scratch. So like the worst case, you will have like 1 year legacy. Like you have to do with, let's say, version of React that is one year old. Whereas in product, SharePoint had still these original bits from, I don't know, 2003. Like, COM objects are still there. It still underpins everything that we see still today in a cloud, right? And it's not something you can just like, you know what? How about we at Microsoft plan now 2 years, rewrite the engine? Never going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't work
that
way.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, bits and pieces are getting rewritten, like the core storage system or whatever. But if you come back on the XML stories, and this always hurts me when we go back in time to this level, because we're dinosaurs. But it's one of those things where still underneath with a communication site or a group associated team site, there is actually on an XML file. And there is actually an SP webs and SP sites, and there's actually timer jobs which are running behind the scenes. So
it's
and
still
we need
there.
To deal with those.
Yeah.
Luckily,
it's
channel audience.
It makes sense, right? Because like, it is really the shortest way to ship to customers the value you want to add, as opposed to, absolutely. No, let's make a new template for a site in SharePoint. Like, yeah, and then you will lose what? Because like when you say this is a type of site, people will expect things, right? They will expect permission, workflow lists, and you get all of that for free, assuming you follow the path that you've been on for the last 20 years. Or right? Whereas now, if you say, you know what, let's make something new, well, then you miss all of that, which isn't an option, like, because there's no way for you to explain it. Yeah, so here we have this new exciting template for a site, but it doesn't have X, Y, and Z. And everyone's like, useless.
Yeah, but the beauty of current situation is that I don't have to worry about a timer job.
True.
Right? You just wait. You just wait.
This is my utopia. Don't break it.
But yeah, so and obviously you can still implement similar kind of stuff, but then you're using Azure. But I think it's good for the third party and partners and customers that they don't have to anymore worry about that. But it's one of those super scary moments when you get dragged into a discussion that, hey, I heard that Vesa knows this. No, I don't know. I don't
want to
be involved.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I do know, but I don't want to know.
Didn't catch that.
Yeah.
But it exactly that, right? It's exactly as you say, like you still have the same needs. Like you will still have the need to have like long running operation or scheduled tasks. But the cool thing is that you can now implement it in functions, logic apps, in flow even. Yeah. Like there are 20 ways to do it. And the best part of it is that if that thing fails, it doesn't bring down the whole farm.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And this is like the so important thing, because like deployment, well, the worst thing that will happen, I mean, sure, you could mess up data storage or size, but if that thing fails by itself, the impact of that is limited. It's way less than it used to be. So it's like it's just less stress developing that, and less like less need to worry that you will do something significantly wrong.
Yes. True. Absolutely.
And obviously, that's absolutely by design, because we don't want anybody to take down the farm, because there would be thousands and thousands of tenants going down at that moment. So
So we have just established that modern SharePoint and cloud are good for the mental health.
Yes. Yes. That's the direct conclusion out of this. Absolutely.
Yes. Yay.
Great summary as well. That great summary.
The things you learn on PNP Weekly.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from mental health, but it's a super important topic as well. Now, on Rabia, on your experience on the SharePoint framework, obviously, I'm highly interested. What about Teams? Have you targeted any of your extensibility for Teams with SharePoint framework, or what's your experience on that side?
Yeah, so we are building apps for Teams as well. Teams is a big focus for a lot of our clients. We do extensions. We have an app which we are productizing as well. I think it will be more, I mean, I think the development side of things will be more into Teams in the coming months or the coming years. And the focus will be, SPFX is pretty cool. We know that it's already there. People are using it. I think Teams is what's going to be the next SPFX is what I believe.
Yeah. And what about on the Teams UX layer? Are you using then SPFX or are you building your own web applications? What's been your chosen path?
We have done both. So SPFX is like the super, you know, easy, simple way of achieving something for a client. And yes, Teams app is also another thing we are focusing on, but there is a lot of layers into it and we are working on that as well. Which is pretty exciting. You think that as a developer, you would just stop where developing stuff, but then comes the authentication side of things with Teams app especially. And
it's
then
always off. It's always off.
Yes, it's always off. It's very interesting because we didn't have to think about this before, but now as developers, we have to know all these layers. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah,
sure. Is it exciting or frustrating?
Well, if it works eventually, it's exciting. If it doesn't, then you're like,
Yeah, because exactly. So until it works, it's frustrating. And after it works, it's the most exciting thing you've done that day.
Yes,
so.
I overcome True. It.
True. Well, that's the beauty of being a developer. Absolutely. Getting stuff actually working, having the problem and solving the problem and then being the winner and then jumping to the next problem. But,
hey, and printing Hello World.
And spending 2 days like, yes, I have a token. And everybody around you is like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I can get data from this list there. And you're like, duh. Like people just like unless you went through the same thing yourself, like you just don't get it. Like you cannot not relate to it in any way, right?
But that's also the area which has to work, which has to be easily doable, which has to be abstracted to the level of, hey, give me the tokens or give me the access things, and then it works.
Unfortunately, in an ideal world, yes, it should be frictionless. Absolutely. Yeah. But there are like so many, like challenging part of that is that there is like identity part of 365 and the Microsoft Cloud is independent from everything else. Sure, it's a key thing. Like whenever you want to build an application, is the first thing you need to get through, because no matter what you want to do, you need to authenticate first. It's not anonymous, right? So you have to do that first. But there are so many ways in which you can do it, right? And as you said, right, in the past we never needed to worry about it because our code ran on the box. We were already on it. Like the user was there, and now it's elsewhere. And now we need to get through it. And now you are in a cloud, and you kind of just step credentials anywhere because you have to deal with things like MFA, conditional access. So you have to use things like OAuth. And even there are like different ways to go around it. It could have been absolutely easier.
Yeah.
And it should be. And we're absolutely working on making it easier.
And it will be. Right, Vesa?
It's the promise of the future always.
You'll fix it, right?
Yeah, we'll fix it. I'm not promising to fix it by myself, but now, to be fair, it is a build week as well. So Build 2020 is happening this week, and there's quite a few identity sessions there as well. Identity is absolutely an investment area. So trying to make things as easy as possible.
Well, and I think if you already look at SPFX, right? So if you would rewind back a few years, back to the point when we could build single page apps already, right? And you could put them in Azure or elsewhere, but you would still need to do auth, and back then you would do it with ADOL.
Yep.
Like that was there, but if you compare that experience to what we have already in SPFX, it's already so much easier. Like you have the client, you have permission request, permission management, it's all there already. And also things like, well, and what if you have two web parts on a page, and what if you have two instances of the same thing, and what if they try to request a token at the same time? Like all of these things are already gone. So it's already way, way, way improved. Just the only thing, like you only appreciate it if you have the experience from the past, like how things used to be, right? Because it used to be way worse.
Yeah.
So now we're in a good shape.
Is that the reason why the more, let's say, experienced people are not as, let's say, vocal, because they know that because if you're a younger person, if you don't have that much experience, you're typically just yelling at Microsoft, you go get it, you don't blah blah blah, you don't, this is missing, why don't
it's
you fix that?
And it's then either that or age.
Or age, yeah.
If you are a younger person, you know everything better, and I've been there myself, and then at some point you like grow up and you're like, no, I actually don't know a lot. And these things are hard to do right at scale, so you guys like don't suck at all that much, to be honest. Just reality of life, right?
True Understanding more and more, one step at a time. Now, before we go to the articles, any other discussion points at this point? This is how well we're scripting things. So let's
leave the room open.
So, Rabia, you came to be an MVP like 3 months ago or something like that, right?
Yes, correct.
And do you have any, what would be your recommendation if somebody is looking into, I want to be an MVP. Is it, how do you get to be an MVP? How did you get to be an MVP? And any learnings from that journey?
I think It's all
not
about
completely on the spot here, like
not at all.
Yeah, well, for me at least, it started off with Office 365 CLI. I think it's basically the contributions that I made, which were really good. I think that's what
absolutely
they thought is good, and also basically it's just creating awareness. I would say this because this weekend when I had that session connection between SPFX and Azure Functions, I know this has been there for a long time now, 2 years probably. We could still do that connection and stuff, but the comments that I saw when I was in that session was like, oh, I worked on SPFX, I worked on Azure Functions, but I never thought these two could be connected. It's all about creating awareness to people. It's not, that big piece of stuff you want to talk about. You don't have to find out that most niche stuff that you probably no one's heard of. Oh, I did that. That's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to help out people starting from, simple things. And that's probably should be anyone's, when they have in mind, they want to help community, they should start from the basics and try and teach people, because there are still people who need awareness in a bigger level. We might think that SPFX has been here for a long time, everyone knows this. That's not really the case. You really have to get to know people to understand how small that percentage is. So get out there, create awareness. I think there's no hard fast rule, or nothing is set in stone on how to be an MVP. I think that's really not the idea, basically. It's just to help people out.
Yeah, and that was actually a really good reminder. Absolutely 100% agree that most of the people still need the getting started and awareness increase and explaining the same story what Microsoft explains using more common words or a different story, basically, which helps them people to understand the value out of, oh, now I got it. And there's a lot of people who never heard about that we have 500 free samples and open source projects out there, which will help people. They don't know. They're not aware of it.
But it is exactly that, right? It is all about reach. If you are new to it, you have no idea what PNP is. So by default, you will never search for PNP. Sure, we know that is the source of like if you would start from PNP, you can find your way to the docs, to issues, to samples, to everything. But if you don't know about it, you might land up on docs.
Yeah.
But then will you come back from docs to PNP? Maybe, maybe not, right? So at the end of the day, if you can start to raise the awareness within your community, that helps, right? And as you said, there is always more people who are new to it than experts. And every day there are new folks who start. And they either start from 2010, they've been on-prem for a long time and only now they have a chance to go to the cloud. Or maybe they come from school. Maybe they've done totally different things. And now they want to do SPFX. And where do they start, right? So it's very much the same thing. How do you start? How do you get easier? I mean, it's even for us, even though we maintain the docs, we write about it, we learn over time how can we explain the basics better, right? And it takes a lot of time for us also to improve. We thought back in the days, based on what we knew, this was the way. And now we learn, no, it isn't the way because this is too hard. We missed this step. We missed that. Tool chain change. There is new version of Node which requires you this flag. Different things, right? And these are the different things that we learn. But it stays very, very much the same. There's a huge need always to explain the basics. And I don't know how you see it, but to me, I very often fall in the trap not everybody knows this already, because there's so many docs, everybody knows this already, which it isn't the case, right?
Yes, that is the case. Yes. And that's exactly what I had in mind when I started out with, I didn't actually know that we could do stuff like this, or even before I started the contribution to CLI, I had no idea that we could do this. I didn't know that we could go in and make changes to a project and, change things or reach out to people. I had no idea. But then I started to do that and then I got the hang of it and then I haven't stopped ever since. So,
You are hooked.
Has been,
Yeah, I'm hooked. Perfect. So maybe the last thing before we go into the articles, like, what was your first adventure with open source?
CLI.
Oh, perfect.
There we go.
Excellent. Yes. So it's like you had no experience with that. And it's like, hey, CLI, let me try to do that.
No, actually, my team lead, Mark Pawney, he was a contributor to CLI. And we had a very casual discussion in our one of our meetings, in our internal meetings. And he said, hey, you know what? I have actually done this. And, you know, you should take a look. And then cool. I took a look. And then I haven't stopped since then. I can't.
Perfect. Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But that's really also shows the example of, we talked about this one quite a few times in the call as well, that when you execute an open source project, it takes enough time for people to adjust and approve and then start using and then be like, what if I would actually contribute? And then it's not a quick few months project to get everything started. It is actually requires a significant commitment, like within the CLI, what Walter has done, and the Gary and Velin, and now Rapia, you've been really active there as well. And so it's one of those things, to be able to make those projects to be successful, you just need to keep on repeating. And then at the same time, being highly inclusive. So basically, anybody who comes along, try to make them feel that their contributions are being valued. Super, super important thing as well.
Yeah.
So, which we
use. Wasn't that your theme? Sorry. Wasn't that your theme for the newsletter, Waldeck, this week?
Yeah.
Do you want to quickly recap on that one?
Yeah, so last week I wrote, like, how can you get folks who maintain an open source thing to help you, right? Because nowadays is this notion where there's so much out there that we can just use, whether that's the thing on NPM. Like, it helps us to be so much more effective, and it allows us to focus on the things that are specific to us, as opposed to reinvent the wheel. Like, how do I do X? How do I show chart? How do I do this? But with that, right? So the first step is easy. We can just take and use it, and it works. Until the point it doesn't, and it's just a matter of time, right? So it's not a if; it's just a when. Like, when things will not work the way you think, and at that point you need to ask somebody for help. So I wrote about, like, my idea, like, how can you help others to help you? Like, you need help; you are stuck. How you reach out? How do you ask? What do you need to take into account, right? So more about, like, that side of the thing, because I think for us very much that's the new reality. Like, not the support tickets at Microsoft, but more the tools that we use and how can we use them effectively. Because we spend all this time to find the tool that we need, we have it, but then it doesn't quite work the way we think. So how can we get help to get our things done?
Absolutely. And CLI is definitely one of the great examples on this. And this has been a really, it's actually interesting to see Waldeck's been closely involved on the PMP stuff and what we've been doing since, like, 2016 or whatever. I can't remember when you jumped
on board. 4 years now.
But it's interesting to see the evolution within the projects as well, because there's multiple open source projects which we're executing together with multiple MVPs. And then some of the projects, like let's say something classic with where we started with PMP was the PMP site score. And within that one, we have like 500 open issues because we don't know how to handle that. And it came to crew to be this massive pool of, how would I put it? There was too much load and then it exploded. And we keep on supporting and we keep on shipping that still, but there's no way for catching up. And now we need to do a full reset, which is going to happen pretty soon on that one, which is pretty cool. There's really great stuff coming from that side, which I recorded a session last week for the upcoming virtual conferences. But CLI is a great example of how would I put it, starting from a clean table and then trying to figure out from a day one, how can we make people like you, Rapia, to contribute on this effort, making it as easy as possible, based on the learnings, which we also see from the other projects as well.
So, And I think like the one thing that helped me in that is that, like, I think if I didn't have the job that I do, I would fall in the same trap. It would be just the thing that I built, passionate about, it solves my issues, and it's cool, right? So if I build it, people will come. Well, they actually don't.
Yeah, that's true. There are so many things that is true.
I live and breathe every day. It's in my head, it makes perfect sense. To everyone else, it's just a piece of code on the internet.
Yes. So I need to get out of my own head,
get out of my own way to help others to help me, right? And that is basically the non-development part of building a product. It's all the marketing and documentation stuff and getting started. And also at some point, like scale. Like I don't scale to do everything myself. I need help. So who is there to help me so that we can grow this thing and help others? Because like it doesn't help anybody if we take more and more and more and more, and then at some point it implodes under its own load, right? Because we can't handle the issues and so forth and so on. So it will be a poor experience for everybody. Like we'll have stress. The users will be like, what is this crap? I cannot use this. Like it doesn't work. Then people don't react to me. Like, you know, so ideally you want to be ahead of that.
Yep, absolutely. And those are the skills which are not about development, not about technology. It's about communications and making sure that people are aware of what is happening and making
shame
it
enough, they don't teach you that at school.
They don't, actually. That is true.
So true. That's very true.
It's more human behavior and human communications, actually, which is not actually, that's a good point. There is no classes in the university, which, well, I haven't gone to university. I'm a bachelor for computer science, but anyway, so
same
there was no classes on,
same
the,
here.
On this topic.
Yeah, there you go. three out of three.
Yes.
That's a good point, Visa, because I feel that a lot have changed ever since I've been in the open source side of things. The way I perceive reviews, the way I perceive PRs coming to me, there's definitely a way in which it has changed. My focus is more on helping now, or not just me, anyone who's in that business side of business knows how things work. In PNP especially, everyone's kind. So I think this is really going from one person to another. It's spreading through, which is great.
Yeah, passing it along. What's the right saying in English? I always forget about it. But basically, the passing the positivity to the next one, because you give something away, and that then generates the right. I would say that generates a sustainable community rather than being based on something which isn't based on the goodwill of people. So.
Which is good.
And now the systems are growing and everything looks really awesome. But anyway, so let's jump to the articles and let's come back in here. So we're trying to keep the session again under 1 hour, but there would be so much to
talk about. We will never manage,
We'll see.
One way to keep the show under hour is to listen to it or to watch it with 1.5 speed.
I actually saw in one of your, I think earlier episodes, you mentioned that it's going to be a 15-minute thing. It's just going to be a 15-minute.
The biggest lie of the year. I don't think we ever had an episode. Yeah, it's never.
5 minutes.
No. I think 15 minutes. Like, if it was only for the news, yes. But this guy's like, there's always so much more, and like every single time we have a guest. Like at some point, discussion evolves, right? And we get into very interesting stuff, personal stuff, interesting stuff. And it doesn't make sense to cut discussion short in favor of time. Like, we have this clock, so let's get it. Yeah, but there is this interesting topic you want to explore, you know? So, yeah.
But it's also the human side of the discussion, and I think that's super important as well, because it helps on people to understand that we're only humans. Everybody is just only a human, and that's, I think that's one of the beauties of the, this whole community, is that when you ask help, anybody can jump in, and then you're like, whoa, Waldeck is helping me. No, well, of course, we're just humans.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but I mean, depending on how much stuff you guys do, like some people actually doubt it if you are a human.
Yeah.
I actually told you, Waldeck, about the discussion in my office previously, that you know, everyone's cloned in PNP. they have cloned.
There are tricks. There are tricks on that. But to be fair, I don't have friends, so I don't have any problems of spending time. Just kidding.
Thank you. Thank you. You opened my eyes very well. now you know it's official.
Okay, so let's concentrate.
No,
the articles for a while.
Stop digging.
we can come back on that topic actually after the articles. So let's talk about actually the how it friends. Looks like.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so this week is the Microsoft Build 2020, and there's quite a few sessions on the Microsoft 365 developer platform. A lot of this obviously focuses also on Teams, but there are SharePoint topics as well. To be fair, what the topics are is getting more and more mixed because I don't think it's about the individual products, it's about the whole platform, absolutely, because that's the important part as well. I know that, for example, Isabella is leading the team who's about to get introduced the Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code tooling for Teams development, which is pretty cool. That was Woo-hoo! Mentioned in the public build, what is it, announcements book or whatever. Yep. So that's pretty cool as well. Really, really great amount of sessions from different areas, identity, Teams development, craft. A lot of the Windows stuff is here as well, because Windows is part of the Windows Microsoft 365, a big part of Microsoft 365, even though we don't focus on that, but hey. And then there's quite a few recorded sessions, so things which have been recorded before, and then people can do it on why my Monday morning
on demand,
taken on demand, see the sessions. Thank you.
That's why I'm here. You're welcome.
English is hard.
It is. Yes.
But yeah, a lot of good stuff and a lot of sessions, a lot of content, and interesting to see how this will. Yeah, how this will play along this time, because now it's completely virtual rather than on-site in Seattle. But again, maybe it's even more inclusive because now everybody can access that. So really good. And obviously all the sessions will be available as a recording. So
that was an interesting comment made by, I believe that was one of the cloud developer advocates, that Build is going to be made like in their favorite format, the way it was intended to be, kind of like in this area, meaning like virtual event reaching everybody across the world, like being really inclusive, because like there are many folks who cannot travel for reasons like health, political thing, personal things. Yeah. And like, why would you be excluded from such a great experience and content, right? So this makes like it's forced upon us to a virus, but I think it's a great change to see that now with this we can reach more people. We can reach more devs, right? So to me, this is a great improvement.
Yeah, it's more equal across the world. It used to be a kind of a exclusive event. When you went to the Build, you actually got a free laptop and whatever. There was like massive amounts of swag.
Oh, I mean, you paid for it with a ticket, but...
No, well, that's fair. You paid for like 2,000 attendance fee, but then you got a lot of swag.
Yeah.
You got massive amount of stuff. Anyway, I think this is more nowadays, maybe. And maybe this is the future. Maybe there will not be anymore an on-site Build, and maybe that's the right thing to do. And the new norm after this situation, after the spring. So good. Related on the new norm of the virus situation, also the SharePoint conference or collaboration conferences and all of those are getting virtual. And the first one into this kind of a not just the development side, is the Microsoft 365 Virtual Marathon. To be fair, I think there was this Microsoft 365 May ongoing right now as well. Which we didn't actually mention in the show in the past, which we do apologize, but this is now the upcoming thing where we also have then Microsoft people coming along as well. But to be fair, coming back on the Microsoft 365 May, I think Jeff Tepper was doing a closing note or whatever it was for Microsoft 365 May. I saw that this morning, which was pretty cool as well. Anyway, on the Microsoft 365 Virtual Marathon, this is basically brought to you by SBC and the community. And there's quite a few Microsoft sessions in here as well. And this is the first of three kind of a larger virtual sessions where we have then non-development topics, but then also development topics available there as well. And the BMP session and a lot of this stuff, how would I put it? There's obviously extensibility is a big part. And that's, by the way, a super cool session. And there's some great announcements coming around the list concept within the Microsoft 365 level. A lot of new stuff on the Power Automate from Jax. A lot of interesting stuff on the modern intranets and portals as well. Because even though you would actually focus on Teams, maybe you want to surface the portal in Teams for corporate communications. Yeah. All of that is getting better and better. So really, really cool. Good. New Graph Explorer is now G8. One note for this one, I'm going to say it publicly as well. We as a Microsoft, we should learn not to actually use these kind of things, but not all people know what GA actually means. But it basically means it's available. Announcing new Microsoft Graph Explorer, general availability. Yeah, it doesn't actually, unfortunately, mention the GA term in the session. But really great to see this. And there's more and more code samples integrated directly in Microsoft Graph in different languages, which is really cool. So you can just basically thinking on just tracking a copy-paste and start using that within your code, as long as you can make the identity work. So, right?
No, so it actually works. Like it's in UI, click, and then work, right? But I mean, like, once you have the code, well, I mean, the good thing is there is the SDK, right? And yes. The Microsoft SDK, like, takes away, again, the hurdle of you dealing with auth, throttling, all the different things that are basically the mechanics that you have to have in place for whatever you're building work the way it should, right? So, like, there are many different tools available to us to connect to Graph, because everything is in Graph.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And that's the central API surface more and more in the future. So anything what you want to access is in a Graph. And so that's kind of, regardless of what application you're using, hit the Graph APIs, you can surface whatever is needed. So which is, by the way, super, super cool. It's finally getting to the promise of what we've been telling for years, so to say. One step at a time. That's always a journey when these kind of things are being introduced. This one is pretty cool on the Microsoft Teams blog site. So automate Teams provisioning with the recaster team app templates. And there's a lot of more and more, let's say, focus on the Teams organization also coming to this governance and centralized controls and templating and all of that, which is great. So you don't have to necessarily build an extensibility of third-party hosted stuff, which we've been forced to do in the past. And basically, there's going to be more templates, out-of-the-box templates, more options available. And then again, definitely also save individual templates available for you as well. So when you start creating stuff, you have a different kind of set of structures available for you to take advantage in your organization, which is really cool as well.
Cool
stuff. This one, Waldeck, do you want to do a quick intro on
GitHub event? Yeah, so there was, I think, last week or the week before that, that was the GitHub event where they announced new features coming to all devs, things like code spaces and other announcements, which is really exciting. Like, well, one of the things that is really cool is the idea, like, when you have a repo, there is this option to download the code or clone a repo, right?
Yep.
Imagine that next to that, there will be a new option named code, where you will get a code workspace, code space with the code already in it. So you will have VS Code in browser with repo cloned already, and you'll be able to run it with all dependencies. Like, if you want to have, like, imagine you work now something SPFX v110, you need to have node v10. If you work on something SPFX v1.4, you will need node 8. So all prerequisites can be already a part of this. So you just click and you start developing already. There is no need for you to have prerequisites set up your machine, your build dependencies in Gulp, and, you know, none of that. Like, all of that is already in there. So this is, like, really cool thing. And I think it's being shown now. Yeah, there is the option code in UI.
Open and code spaces,
Yeah, exactly, right? So if you watch this show as opposed to only have the audio, like, you can see now on a screen the live demo, like, how they go through the code space experience that will be available soon. So like, this is one of the really cool announcements that they've done.
So this is almost like the what was it, Visual Studio Napa a while back?
Correct.
Which always makes me smile, because Napa in Finnish means belly button. So it's like one of those really awesome.
It's very close to your stomach, right? Like all love goes through your stomach, right?
Yeah. Visual Studio belly button. Okay. So test for quick smiles as well. But really cool stuff. So have a look on, please have a look on this. Yeah. Also, I want to point out the discussions we that's coming pretty soon as well. So in the CLI, you've been piloting the GitHub discussions for a while already. And that's actually really, really cool that you can actually just then differentiate the issues, because issues and discussions are, to be honest, a slightly different topic. But for now, we've been then using issues for having the discussion as well quite often in a GitHub. So
or we use something else like Gitter or some other tool, right? But that would be this disconnected experience. And now we have the ability to have everything in a single place, which is just easier. And also it's a better place for you to build kind of like FAQ or because if issue is closed, that is gone. But then discussions aren't being closed, right? You can mark discussion as answered, but it's still there. So you can still see it. You can more easily search through it. So it's a great improvement. And again, like not everything that is being asked is actually an issue, right? So that is also a great thing for you to draw a line there and just have like this mental ease of another issue. No, it's not. It's just somebody asking stuff.
And also GitHub sponsors is now getting upgraded to the organization level, so which is pretty cool as well. So a lot of interesting stuff coming in GitHub.
It is.
Now, let's move in here. This is from Stefan Bisser, Bot Framework Composer Series and step number one, use adaptive cards. And basically, Stefan is an MVP on the Bot Framework side of the house, but obviously bots more and more being used in the Microsoft Teams side, which is pretty cool. And then adaptive cards is one of those technologies where you can really easily then design the outputs. We'll actually have pretty soon cool samples related on this one, right, Waldeck, which you've been working on? So
yeah, correct.
At least one really cool sample, which is integrating with the bot and then Teams and everything. So
other things, yeah. I leave that to you to announce or share, because I don't know like how much of that is already public or not. So it's like, yes, it's cool. It's coming soon. What it is, that is up to you, Essa.
We'll talk about that one at the virtual. Well, actually, I got it recorded last week, so it's going to be part of the virtual marathon, I think, first time. So,
okay.
Teasers.
So if you want to know about like what we talk about now, you need to watch Vesa's session at the virtual marathon on May 27 and 8.
I think we'll promote some stuff before that as well. So it's all good. Anyway, so this one, SPFX disabled tabs and pivots. So basically an SPFX extensibility from Verasekar related on how to handle tabs and transitions, which is pretty cool as well. So good examples and helping people to implement things. Find SharePoint documents by a file extension, just a good query or PowerShell commandlets, or basically BMP PowerShell in this case, because it's just so easy to access the files and information in the site level with scripting as well. Related actually on this one, there is a real progress on finally, hopefully getting, not soon, but soon enough, the BMP PowerShell in the core, PowerShell core.
Woo-hoo!
And after that, then that works in Azure as a function if you want, and all of that goes much more smoother. But one step at a time. But there are movements. And
it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. On which year, we'll see. So
A Wednesday.
SPFX extension to generate document QR code using command sets from Sitehart. Sitehart has been promoting or pushing a lot of examples recently, so thank you for that. Good stories on actually getting started on implementing these things and using a nice panel or in dialogue in this case. View document thumbnails in modern document library view in SharePoint Online. And this is from Mark Reckley, and really around also how to take advantage of our list formatting samples. And there's actually quite a lot of different samples available. Yes. So Chris Kent is the open source person coordinating this site because he is, well, do whatever reason he landed to be the list formatting guy with his war horses and all of that. Those who've seen our community calls, they understand what is a war horses. If you haven't, have a look on the recording. Those are pretty funny, actually. Chris is a great presenter as well. So. This one from AC, a webinar to get Microsoft 365 developer certified, explore Microsoft Teams. So basically recordings on what are the areas which you should be looking into if you're looking into getting the Microsoft 365 Developer Certification passed, which is really cool. It was a pretty long journey for us to get the Microsoft 365 Developer Certificate up and running. We started that journey already more than a year ago. I think in January last year, we started actually having proper discussions on that we need to do this and then getting all of that done. And that's now available. I think it went in Ignite, it went to beta, and now it's fully available as a real certificate. So, and there's a focus area. So there's some discussions on having more specific certificates per different areas in Microsoft 365, but we needed to get the developer associate first out, and then we can evolve that journey.
Yeah.
This one here is from our Italian friend. He doesn't look that angry this time.
Come on, guys. You should stop this game. I'm not serious all the time.
It's a long-running joke for those who haven't actually listened to the show. But really, creating Microsoft Teams tabs with SPFX and having that story or all personal applications, if I remember correctly, this both covers the both. Creating Teams, well, this is Teams tabs. But anyway, it's pretty much the same story. And like Rabia mentioned already during this show, it is absolutely the easiest way to do stuff. But then if you have an existing website or you're a SaaS provider, why would you implement your stuff using SharePoint Framework? Well, you wouldn't. So you would actually surface that application from Azure. But why is this important? Well, the SharePoint Framework, you don't have to worry about hosting. You don't have to worry about deployment. You don't have to worry about optimized experience, CDN. All of that is taken care of for you. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh.
Auth and auth.
Do not forget
auth. Yes. And this is from Chris O'Brien, Teams and SharePoint Provisioning Solutions, new group create permission. So basically, there's a new permissions moving along, which wouldn't then require you to have massive permissions.
Read
to the
or
group
write access. File,
which is basically, I'll give you grant access to everything in my Azure AD. To be able to create a
site. So, and I guess like this is perfect for things like a lookbook, right? Because like it doesn't meant to read anything from your environment. Just create new stuff. Like you ask it to create a site according to this template, and it does exactly that, right? So
true.
Majority of
lookbook sites are using communication sites.
I know. So that was the next thing I wanted to say. Like this is only for groups, but it would be really great to have this kind of access to other areas as well, so because one thing that we've seen over and over again over the course of years is demand to create stuff, pre-configured templates, teams, groups, whatever.
Yeah,
absolutely. And obviously, even if you think about an SharePoint UX, yes, you can create a site collection as long as the self-service site collection creation is enabled. So why can't you actually create a site collection if you're an application? Which is something which we're working on. So when do we get it sorted out? We'll see. But it's a weird thing that from a UX you can do something, but application cannot. That's not how it should be. That's on Thursday, yes. And the previous one was on Wednesday. So this one's from Harsha Varhini, an animation or motion effects using Office UI Fabric / Fluent UI and SPFX. So basically making transitions and movements using the Office UI Fabric and then combining things. I'm not a CSS expert, but there's so much things what people can actually do with this stuff. So
yeah,
that's not necessarily that interesting, but as an example, how to make things work. So
yeah.
And this one, as the last one, modern page provisioning in the SharePoint framework. So provisioning modern pages in modern SharePoint using SPFX. And for this one, you would be then using the BMP.js because it has the JavaScript interfaces to actually make these things happen. So in here, if we scroll down, in here we're actually creating, let's see, quick look. We're creating a new page. We're adding a section. We're adding a column. We're adding stuff to the column. And it actually is the BMP.js that has a nice wrapper on making all of this stuff quite easily available. So in here, we're getting a with port and then adding that to the column and then saving that in. Oof. Yeah.
This is really like the only sane way to do it, because otherwise, like alternative, you will need to write your own DOM. You will need to write your own HTML injecting things. And if you do something wrong, it will break. And you will have no idea. You will break the whole page and there is no way back, right? So really like PMP.js for this particular thing is really, to be honest, like the only available option.
Yeah, for JavaScript. And then for the, if you're writing C-sharp code, you'll be using the BMP site score because of it course. Has the, exactly the same matching capabilities as well. But because there's no native APIs for modern pages, which we're working on it. So that will be
on Friday, right?
Friday. These
will come on Friday. Monday.
On Monday, yes. A Monday.
Because
no one ships on Fridays.
Correct.
I do. There's nothing wrong with shipping on Friday. If you have your tests in place, you have your automation in place.
Don't do it. No shipping on Fridays, no communications, let's say big announcements on Fridays. That's not a smart thing to do either.
So do you even work on Friday then?
You prep stuff for the Monday and Tuesday.
Monday, of course.
Monday clearly isn't a good day for big announcements either, based on what we're seeing in social media. So it seems to be that Monday is the one where people are like, I don't want to watch anything. So that's why we're shipping BMP Weekly on Tuesday. So
years of experience, right?
Yes. But what do we want to talk about on the end? We wanted to talk about how it seems that we, how do we make so much?
Do so much. Happen? Yeah. How do we do so much?
Yes.
It's scaling.
How do you
so,
do this constantly?
Yeah, it's clothing.
Consistently.
Here's lesson number two. Give me 1 second. So.
Yes.
No, I think one of the things is just realities of life, because when you've been doing stuff for years and years, you end up having and let's say pumping into our YouTube videos and blog posts and everything else. And it seems to be that we're doing a massive amount of things every single week. Well, sure, we're doing stuff in every single week, but then it amplifies because you have that years of content in the internet already. So it feels like people are doing more than they actually do. Then at the same time, to be honest, at least in my case, one of my roles and my jobs as a job is actually to do some of this stuff. So,
okay.
which obviously is one secret. What else is happening? To be fair, I would be doing this for free. Don't tell my manager. It's one of those things where it's a hobby, but then you get paid for it. So therefore, it's fine to actually do some extra time. It's fine to do some extra things and share and deliver and do stuff, because hey, what else?
Dear Visa questions as well.
And answer Dear Visa questions. Yes.
No. That goes as this well. Is where he draws the line. Every single time I send him an email starting Dear Visa, I'm like, never an answer.
Anyway, but I think it's more a let's say, sure, we do a lot of stuff, but I think it's more a, it's not, it feels like we're doing even more because of the years and years of the content already in the internet. That's one of the conclusions, plus the scale. The scaling through Waldeck and Waldeck scales through his team and the virtual teams and working together, because I think whenever we're sharing, you share something, we share it forward, it amplifies the message, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, right. And that's actually an interesting thing, right? Like at some point when you get to lead some things, like there are many, many sides to leading anything really, whether that is internal team or external project in open source. Like one side is that way, whatever is wrong, that is on you, right? But on the other hand, whenever there is something new to share, like you are the person to share it. So imagine like the bigger the team, the more things to share. So I get to share some things that we do in CLI. Do I do all of them? Absolutely not. Like I would never be able to do it in my entire life. Like there's tons of great folks, including you, Rabia, who help us.
Thank you.
And I am just that person to say like, well, guys, we have this. We have this new thing built by these people. Like they spend, they chose to spend their free time to help us and to help you, right? And I am just the person that happens to be there to amplify that. That is one, two. At the end of the day, like there are only that many hours in a day, and that's physics, right? And you choose to spend it on this or that, right? Yeah. Vesa, admitted he doesn't have any friends, right? So that gives him by default already a few minutes more.
Extra hours. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, right? So he chooses to do this, and it's the same thing for me. Like, I choose to do this and not that. Like, and the cool thing is that, like, to me, these things give me the energy. Like, I love to see the fact that something that I shared helps somebody. Perfect. Like, that only gives me the energy to do even more of that. Right?
More.
So it's this self-enhancing thing, right? When the more you do of it, the more you want to do, because you see, like, you have
the
momentum.
Help other people. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, to be honest, obviously there's situation, that there's family situations, there's all of that. And and one of the rules, what we're saying in the PMP crew, so the PMP team, is that family always first. And if you need to take a break for a few months, then you take a break for a few months. It's not a problem. Yeah. It's nobody's demanding for anybody to do it, but then welcome people back on what they're doing. In my case, I'm in a really, let's say, how would I put it, in a optimal situation, so that my meeting times start at 5 p.m. on the evening. And that means that between the 9 a.m., like what I started today at 9:30, until the 5 p.m., I actually have my productivity time when I can do stuff. And then my meetings start from 5 p.m. forward, and then they eat up my evenings. But that's part of the role. Then at the same time, during daytime, when my boy, let's say, needs help, so their school needs help on the school, I can go there because I have the flexibility.
Yeah.
And so it's just nature of how things have evolved in my case. I work from home, and then that means that I work pretty long days, but hey, that's part of the game, part of the flexibility as well. So
cool.
Everybody has their own unique ways of dealing with this time and dealing the situation, and have somebody maybe have hobbies. I don't have hobbies except with the going out with the dog. So
no hobbies, no friends. Like, that almost sounds like imbalance.
Yeah, pretty sad.
My greatest challenge during this time was second grade math.
I can imagine. Yes, I have to say. Exactly,
I've done
problem.
My share of that, and it's like, I forget all about it. I will go through exactly the same thing. Like, what is this? Is it like, I don't know. Yeah. Let's figure it out together.
What's wrong?
I can call an API for you if you want. I can do all, but math, no idea.
but to be honest, that's a good point. At least for me, that was absolutely the big change, because then I was responsible of homeschooling from a morning until noon or 1 p.m. And then that ate up a lot of the time for the past months. And now the schools are actually open again, so I have more flexibility in the morning. But again, this period is difficult, because I think it was Scott Hanselman who said really well that this is not remote working time. This is forced working from home. And it has a completely different mindset, because you have to deal with the stress. You have to deal with the additional family situations and all of that stuff. And every one of us are unique, and we deal with this situation differently. So, but we'll get past this. I think it starts looking gradually slightly more positive. We'll see how it goes one day
depends
at a time.
Depends where in the world you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That as well.
Correct.
So one day at a time. We'll eventually get past this. So all good.
Yes.
We are here, the whole week, right?
Yeah, and we tried to keep it under 1 hour, and we didn't, so we did successful. Okay.
So how about we try to keep it under 2 hours?
Yes, but I think that's it for now for this PMP week. Thank you, Rabia, for dropping by and having
Thank
a great
you so
discussion.
Much.
My pleasure.
So really, really great. And good to hear your experiences related on coming to MVP and also as a developer on this area as well. Waldek, any last words from your side?
Yes, everybody stay safe, enjoy the week, and we will be here next week.
Sounds good. Take care,
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Waldek. We'll be back in a week. Bye-bye.
Bye.